ABU Community Radio is currently hiring for the following three positions: Station Manager, Evening News and Public Affairs Director, and Director of Underwriting. To apply to one of these positions, send a cover letter and resume to hiring@kabu.org, or bring or mail your resume with cover letter to 20 Southeast 8th, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Please answer the following question: why is KABU important? Open until filled. Interviews will begin around December 9th. No phone calls, please. KABU Community Radio is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer. Women and people of color are encouraged to apply. For more information, go to kboo.org.
KABU is gearing up to celebrate 50 years of community radio, and we need your help. Take the Big Events Survey on kabu.fm and help us decide what kind of events you would attend or help build. Go to kabu.fm and click on the survey banner to help prepare for the Kaleidoscope of KABU, Past, Present, and Future, 50th Anniversary Celebration.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis. Get ready, Portland. It's time for the UBU Hour on KBOO Portland.
Oh, fuck.
The following program may contain profanity.
And then...
Hold, please. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Those 27 words are the entirety of the second of the 27 amendments to the Constitution. Thus, it was a most important amendment to our founding fathers.
The world is not safe anymore. There is danger everywhere, even in the homeland. Our Second Amendment is more important than ever in these perilous times.
A dangerous world. And what do liberals want to do about it? They want to take away your guns so that only criminals and jackbooted government thugs are armed.
They want to leave you defenseless so that others can take everything away from you. Your property, your family, and even your life.
They want to wrest our great nation away from you and me by taking away our Second Amendment rights and freedoms.
That's why the UBU Hour and our underwriters for this show, the National Rifle Association, are pleased to bring you the thrilling radio drama, Gun of a Son.
Guns, action, sex and violence, guns, profane language, guns, and more guns.
An exciting drama that showcases our God-given Second Amendment rights and freedoms. As our tale begins,
the gun lies in the middle of the table. Pascal Montanez, Laura Lark, and Lisa Leeson stare at the weapon.
Let me remind you, if you reveal a gun in the first act, it's gonna go off before the end of the play.
This gun, what the fuck is it doing here, Pascal?
I bought it from Uncle Lemmy.
Do you even know how to use it?
Not too complicated. Point and pull the trigger. Besides, Lemmy and his kid Marcel took me to the range to try it out. Showed me how to use it.
I don't understand. I go back home a few days, and you go out and buy a gun?
You could at least hide it somewhere so we don't have to see it. I hate those things. Sitting there like that, exposed. It's gross. I don't want to see your gun.
I might need it. Those fat men in the motel room. I saw one of them again with his wife last night.
Are you sure? Where did you see him?
Outside here. They were walking across the yard towards the south structures. They're here now. It's like they are following me around.
What men? Who are they?
It happened the day Pascal moved here from the motel. It was nothing, really. A misunderstanding. Pascal had the wrong room.
Hey, I made an honest mistake, but those men were creepy. It happened 4 days ago.
Four days earlier, Pascal was downing his last beer with Laura across the street from the motel.
In 20 minutes, he'd walk over there, get his things out of room 23, load them into the car, and move into the big apartment with Laura and her cousin, Lisa Neeson.
But let's now focus more closely on the motel. It's one of those 50s brick sprawls with exterior metal stairs and balconies to the second floor.
We float over the two-lane highway to the parking lot, past the butt-strewn pavement, up a flight of stairs, along the narrow balcony, and into room 32.
Abel and Mertrude are about to kick back for a drink. Their best friends, Kane and Gladys, who are staying in the next room, have joined them.
You really think you'll need it?
I hope not, Mertrude.
So why bring it at all? We're on vacation.
Anyone want another drink? Abel, Mertrude.
I think you've had quite enough, Kane.
I don't go nowhere without it. I don't plan to use it, but just in case.
In case of what?
Don't give him a tough time. I'm packing too.
You're what?
I brought my special friend. You want to see it?
Kane Lord pulls away the vest to reveal his black leather shoulder holster, which contains a Glock G42.
I thought I was your special friend.
You're my wife.
Kane thinks in his head, and before he can say anything.
Maybe you men should lock those away until tomorrow morning. We've all had a lot to drink, and those toys are not very safe.
You boys, I can't believe you brought those damn things.
Hell yeah! That's why we took cars here.
I won't fly if they won't let me take it aboard. Fuck that bullshit. The car is freedom.
Big city like Portland, you think I'd walk around out there unarmed?
You gotta understand, Gladys. The gun is what keeps us safe. There's two kinds of people in the world, sheep and wool.
That's the choices? You have the entire span of humanity boiled down to two archetypes, sheep and wolf. And then, what does that make us? What does that make you and Abel?
Hell, Kane, I thought there was three kinds of people. Pricks, cunts, and assholes.
You girls have to understand about the guns. We're not going to be sheep. There are a lot of evil people out there. Rapists and terrorists. We're doing this for you.
Especially a place like this, with all those liberals who let criminals go free and put true patriots like Eamon Bundy in jail.
And they don't want any proper God-respecting citizen to own a gun. They want to unarm us so that their socialist masters overseas can enslave us to a total terrorism.
Damn right. We'll all sleep a little more secure.
I think I'd sleep better if you hadn't brought the guns.
Shh, everyone be quiet.
They freeze. A key turns in the front door of the room. The deadbolt slides back. The door starts to open.
What the fuck?
You broke into the wrong room, cocksucker.
Oh, fuck.
The man, halfway through the door, freezes at the sight of the two guns pointed at him. A girl is on the motel balcony behind him.
Pascal? What's going on?
Get your fucking hands up, scumbag.
I thought this was my room.
Yeah, right, asshole. You want a taste of this?
No, Kane!
Pascal, get the fuck out of there. It's the wrong room. 32, not 23.
The girl pulls the man back out the door and slams it shut.
Maybe we should have capped the motherfucker. Stop him and his meth whore from breaking into more rooms.
I think you scared him pretty good with that shot. Did you see him piss his pants?
Kane, you didn't have to do that.
You see, Gladys? If we hadn't been armed, that scumbag might have pulled out a gun or knife and robbed us.
That pretty much settles the debate, I think. Mertrude, Gladys, You'll have to admit you were totally wrong.
Someone could have been seriously hurt.
Yeah, that piece of shit could have been hurt. And without these guns, it would have been us, not him.
Well, we've certainly begun this trip on a sour note. I think I need another drink.
Ten minutes later, there's a knock on the door. Kane reaches for his Glock in the black leather holster.
Oh, fuck! Is he back for a bullet in the head? Or is it another scumbag?
I think it's the desk guy.
Hello, Mr. Knowles. I need to talk to you. Please open.
Come in. You're the guy we want to talk to. Somebody tried to break into our room a few minutes ago.
It was a mistake. He had the wrong room. He said you discharged a gun at him.
If I aimed at him, he'd be seriously hurt. A warning shot, that's all it was.
Like I said, it was a mistake. But I have to ask you to leave, Mr. Knowles. Firing a gun at another guest, we can't have that.
But I didn't fire the gun, Kane did.
Look at the hole it put in my wall. Maybe all four of you will have to leave.
That doesn't explain why he broke into our room.
He thought it was his room. He had the numbers reversed. See, number 32 and 23, a mistake.
The door was locked. How could he unlock it? Unless...
Oh, don't tell me all the locks are keyed the same here.
No, of course not. Just every fourth room, yeah. It makes it easy to keep track of keys. We only need four sets. So unfortunately, yes, his key opened your door. But it doesn't excuse the way you treated him.
And you're going to make us leave simply because we defended ourselves?
It's not our fault this shit motel has such terrible security. I'll tell you what, we'll stay here tonight, and then tomorrow morning we find another place.
And you'll pay for the damage to the wall?
You're pushing it. Do you even have a green card?
And now it's 4 days later. Pascal was unable to sleep after the incident at the motel room, where the two men pulled guns on him, treating him like a common thug.
And now I own a gun. I no longer have to live in fear.
That's stupid, Pascal. What if you walked into the room with a gun on you?
They would have fucking shot you, killed you.
Or maybe they'd have shown me more respect if I had gotten the draw on them. People don't mess with a man with a gun.
You don't need a gun to prove you're a man.
You don't understand. They do something bad to you, or Lisa, I tell them, you get on the fucking floor. Get on your fucking knees, because I'll make you my fucking punk bitch.
Then... No! Don't hurt me with your gun, Pascal. I surrender.
Oh, shit!
Look at what you did. Lisa laughed so hard she fell off her seat.
Lisa, are you okay?
Yes! Yes!
You laugh now, but who knows?
Pascal grabs the gun off the table and walks over to the sliding door to the balcony. He could not make Laura understand. He could not put the feeling into words.
The way he felt with the reassuring weight of the gun in his hand or tucked into the pocket of his vest. It was like all this time he'd been naked, defenseless, out there in the world. And now he owned a gun.
As he walks back into the house, the landline on the dresser rings. Still angry, he picks it up.
Hello?
You won't get away with this.
Who the fuck is this?
Let them go. You do anything to throw curls and...
I don't have to listen to your shit. Who is this?
I'll use all my skills to track you down and find you. And when I do, I'll kill you. I will kill you.
You do that, asshole. I'm not afraid of you. I got a gun.
Well, you should be afraid of me. You should be very afraid.
Fuck you! I think you dialed the wrong number, dude.
Who was it on the phone?
I don't know. Some very pissed off drunk idiot had the wrong number.
Another time he would have immediately hung up on the unknown caller, but now he owned a gun. He wasn't afraid of anyone, not the unknown drunk on the phone or the two rednecks in the motel room.
But we now leave Pascal's story. We travel 400 or more miles east to a small city in another state. Earlier that day, at the regional airport, a man watches his daughter and her cousin get on the airplane.
His ex-wife and her husband are also there. The man tells his ex-wife,
I don't like it, Carla. She's too young to be traveling by herself.
You need to relax, Nahum. She'll be fine. She's not by herself. My niece is with her.
I just think I should have gone with them. A big city like Portland is not a safe place for two young girls.
Maybe you should have been around here more when she was younger. Maybe you should try to give her some space. It's not like she's a kid anymore.
His ex-wife rolls her eyes and walks away with her new husband. The man had been in military special ops when he was younger. A lot of time spent away from home. It was some of what led to the divorce.
But now he's retired. Too much extra time on his hands. He was always there to protect his daughter, waiting across the street from the high school, appearing at the movie theater when she was out with her friends.
Perhaps he's overcompensating for not being there for his daughter when she was younger.
Many, many hours later, he's pulling on a bottle and waiting for his daughter to call. He finally calls her. She does not answer the phone. Then he calls the ex-wife.
Carla.
What is it this time, Liam?
When did you last talk to her?
She called me when she got to Portland.
That was what? Noon? 1 p.m. maybe.
What are you getting at?
I tried to call her last hour. It just goes to voicemail. She hasn't called me back. I called 4 times. And I told her to call me. Don't want anything to happen to her.
Laura will take care of her. Laura's boyfriend is there too.
This boyfriend? That one I met, Pascal?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I don't trust him. What do we know about him?
You don't trust anyone, Liam. Stop being so suspicious now. I need to get to bed. Big day tomorrow.
Hold on. That's her calling.
See? Everything's all right.
Lisa.
You get on.
Hello, Lisa, are you there? I knew it! I knew I couldn't trust him.
Don't hurry with your gun, Pascal. I surrender.
And then the cell phone goes quiet, the connection broken. He drops the phone on the bed and walks over to his gun chest to find the right weapons.
Once he is fully armed, he goes back to the phone. He shifts through his notes on a small yellow legal pad until he finds Laura's Portland number.
I don't have to listen to your shit. Who the fuck is this?
Let them go. You do anything to those girls and I'll...
Who says?
I'll use all my skills to track you down and find you. And when I do, I'll kill you. I will kill you.
You do that, asshole. I'm not afraid of you. I got a gun.
Well, you should be afraid of me. You should be very, very afraid.
Fuck you. I think you'll die along with her, dude.
And then the sleazebag hung up. Nahum was in active mode as the years of special training swell into his mind.
I told her this would happen. That fucking Carla. Too fucking soft to see what's happening. But I'm going to take care of this fucking prick and rescue my daughter.
He has mistaken his life for one of those Taken movies. After months in depression, in an alcoholic haze, his mind is clear. He is ready for action.
As he threw a half dozen handguns, assault rifles, and military explosives into a pair of large duffel bags, his entire life seemed to lead up to this point.
We have a situation, Carla. Lisa tried to call me.
What do you mean?
She tried to call me, and when I picked up, I could hear her trying to escape some bad men.
Are you sure, Liam?
I'm on the way now.
No, I don't think you need to do that, Liam. Let me call them to see if they're okay. You don't need to go there.
I'm about halfway there, on 84.
You're not driving and talking on the cell phone at the same time, are you?
Sure am. All right, 150 miles an hour gets me there in 3 hours. Desolate outskirts at the far edge of dusk. Then I reached the place where they were staying, a condo sprawl on the outskirts of the city.
Before he commences his search, he walks over to a lounge across the street. He sits at the bar, orders a burger and a double scotch. He scans the room.
Nothing but slackers and posers.
He's on the second double scotch when a pair of men sit down next to him.
That was too much, this fucking city.
Another day and the conference is over.
You guys from out of town?
That's right, we've been here 5 days.
Lots of freaks around here. You seem like one of the few normal people we've seen.
I just got into town. I drove here from Idaho.
Several minutes of small talk ensues, where the men tell him about their business conference and their wives and other stuff.
So, Liam, what brings you to this liberal cesspool?
My daughter came here with her cousin. I think they've been kidnapped or something.
Are you kidding?
Man, that sucks. I'm so sorry, man.
Maybe you guys can help me.
He pulls out his cell phone and does a few clicks on the screen. An image of Pascal, Laura's boyfriend, enlarged.
Have you seen this guy?
Wait a second. Yeah, isn't that the guy...
That's the motherfucker that tried to break into our motel room a few days ago.
He broke into your hotel room?
He tried to, but we were there with our guns.
This scum connected with what happened to your daughter?
I think so. If he's breaking into hotel rooms, that only confirms my suspicions about his character.
I saw him again. Last night. Lurking around those condos across the street. I didn't like seeing that rat again, not after he got us kicked out of the motel.
We're staying over there, too. Some Airbnb my wife hooked us up with.
I can even point out which one he's staying at.
This has been most helpful. When we finish our drinks, you can point out the place.
You need to be careful. This scumbag is armed.
He's armed.
The image sharpens in Nehem's mind. Another piece locks into place. One must know the enemy to defeat the enemy.
I knew there was something wrong with this guy, Laura's boyfriend. Now I'm sure he's involved in what happened.
We move across the road to the condo. Lara runs up the steps and enters. Inside are Lisa, Pascal, and Pascal's brother, Marcel.
Lisa, I just saw Niamh.
My dad? He's here?
Uh-huh. I went into the bar across the street to get some burgers to go, and he was there at the bar.
No! Why would he be here?
I don't know.
Are you sure it was him?
I think so. Over there at the bar.
I swear! It's like he's stalking me! Fuck!
Lisa Leesum looks out the window and sees three men at the edge of the highway. She clearly makes out her father's teetering, long-legged swagger as he strides across the road, the other two men in tow.
One of the men is pointing towards the window. The three men pause at the walkway, talking for a moment, and then her father shakes the hands of the other two and starts loping towards the condo.
He's coming this way! I don't want to deal with him!
Why don't you and Laura slip out back? Marcel and I will deal with him.
Just tell him we're not here, and you don't know when we'll be coming back.
Okay, I just need to grab a few things.
This way. Back door. We can slip around through this alley.
That's him. See you later. I'd better grab the gun.
You want me to get the front door, Pascal?
Sure. We'll see what this clown wants.
Niamh knocks on the door of the condo. He waits several seconds. The deadbolt's not set. Easy enough to shim the knob lock and kick open the door on Pascal.
Ow! I was just about to open it!
Where's my daughter? Where's Lisa?
I don't know. She's not here.
She's not expecting you, is she?
Where is she?
We told you, we don't know.
How about Laura? You don't know where she is either?
That's correct. No one here but me and my brother.
You're a wealth of information, aren't you, Pascal? You don't remember talking to me on the phone?
No, I didn't talk to you on the phone.
Yes, you did. Earlier today, and I said I was going to track you down and kill you if you didn't give me back my daughter.
I don't have your daughter. I don't know what you're talking about.
She's not here right now, mister.
No, you fucked with the wrong person. You better tell me where she is, or you're gonna get...
Fuck!
Marcel is on the floor, cowering in fear. Niamh waves the gun at Pascal.
Jesus, man, put away the gun!
No, you tell me where she is.
Outside, on the lawn, a dozen feet from the door, sitting on a bench, Abel and Kane suddenly stopped their conversation.
Did you hear that?
Sounded like a gunshot.
Shit! We'd better see what's going on. Niamh might need backup.
Good thing we're packing.
They scramble to their feet and lope over to the open door of the condo. Kane pulls out his gun and steps inside. Abel is a few paces behind him.
The man who tried to break into their motel room 4 days earlier has a gun drawn on Niamh.
Drop the fucking gun!
No!
Kane, what's going on?
Get the fuck in here fast!
A gunshot.
Shit. We need to get back there, Laura.
More gunshots.
Abel?
I think they went over there. Look, that open door.
I hope they didn't get into some bad stuff.
Well, they took the guns with them. With those guns on them, they don't have to get into the bad stuff. It'll come and look for them.
Pascal, are you okay?
Help! Help!
Abel, are you in there?
Kane!
Blood is splattered everywhere. Bodies sprawled across the floor. Hard to know who's dead and who's seriously wounded. Pascal, Niamh, Kane, and Abel have all been hit by bullets.
Marcel staggers out of the condo with a bloody arm, his face distorted with shock.
He shot me! Lisa's father fucking pulled a gun on us and shot me! And then he shot some guy running in with a gun, but I think that was a mistake. And then Pascal shot him, and then another guy fell, and his gun went off, and Pascal shot at him, and Neum shot at Pascal, and the bullets are flying everywhere. Fuck! No one gets out alive!
Don't say that. You're alive, and Pascal can't be dead.
Daddy, are you okay?
Oh my God, my poor Abel.
Kane, someone call an ambulance. Call 911.
They'll be here soon. They'll get here, and no one's going to die. Please get here soon before they bleed to death.
Why did they have to bring those stupid guns?
Why, Daddy, why? I can hear the ambulance. It'll soon be here.
They'll need more than one. What a sad, tragic day.
That's about it. There's really nothing more to say. That's the end of the story.
I see you.
This has been the Ubu radio drama, Gun of a Son, written and directed by Rolf Strempribon.
Son of a Gun was performed by
Marcel Marceau,
Selena Chow,
Becky,
Aaron Yankee,
Martin
Rob Rubinowitz,
Larry
Marceau Marcel.
Time now for a copyrighted feature of the Ubu Hour Radio Theater, the K-Bulletin Board, where we list stuff that could well be happening soon in and around Portland, but only maybe.
Let's lead off with this. Chicks and ducks and geese better scurry toward the North Plains Assembly of God Adult Choir's unplanned tribute to the state of Oklahoma this coming weekend, a free concert at a parking lot somewhere in the vicinity of the Beaverton Arby's. Because Andrew Lloyd Webber has never written a piece of his typical British trashola, one that extols the Sooner State, the program will consist of, fittingly enough, songs from the Rodgers and Hammerstein Broadway musical, Oklahoma.
As you probably know, the state of Oklahoma is God's frequent target for natural disasters like tornadoes, floods, and earthquakes, as well as such unnatural disasters as batshit crazy politicians, oil spills, grain silo explosions, dust storms, animal riots, country music outages, and mass shootings, many of the shootings featuring gun-happy cops wearing KKK hoods. Did we leave anything out? Oh yeah, terrorist attacks on federal buildings. Not to mention that the state is also home to Oral Roberts University.
But the choir will attempt to convince us through song that Oklahoma is okay. Donations solicited at the concert will finance Okie families who desperately wish to move to Arkansas but are too poor to do so.
One feature of the concert will be the Singing Joes, a family that performs in the style of the Beverly Hillbillies.
In the event of rain, performers will force their way into the Arby's and spectators will be invited to follow.
Making a rare Portland appearance, the Alvin Toffler Dance Crazies, a modern dance troupe out of Passaic, New Jersey, will appear on stage at the Newkirk for a one-night performance of Jive Turkey Leisure Suit, a commemoration of all things 1975. Alvin Toffler Jr. is, as usual, the lead choreographer, and his wife Marge, also as usual, will be the lone dancer. She will be accompanying herself on an Inuit's whale skin reverberating tinkly things. An unusual element of the dance is that Marge, wearing wooden Dutch clogs and steel taps, will be dancing atop empty 55-gallon fertilizer drums. That's next Friday at the Newkirk.
A smoke-in will be held in the living room of Travis Alexander O'Gurgle at 1212 Funston Lane in Buckman. This will be a marathon pot smoking event protesting high prices at the Mr. Green Jeans cannabis store on Burnside at 9th. If you think prices at that store are too high, come and join the smoke-in beginning this Friday night. It will likely continue through the rest of the week, maybe even into the following week, depending upon how supplies hold out. So please bring a sleeping bag, some munchies to share, and if you're old enough to be on Social Security, some phrases from the 60s you'll be willing to share, like, "This shit is so bitchin', man."
A dance presentation to benefit Fuck Bees, Friends of the Unprotected Courageous Bees, may or may not be presented at the Harry Quisling Gimlet Elementary School in Damascus. Free-form dancers trained at a Reed College dormitory will perform the premiere of a ballet titled We of the Universe Need the Courageous Bees to Pollinate Our Plants. Choreography is by the new staff of the Portland Mercury. Six male dancers will represent worker bees darting from flower to flower in a simulation of pollination with the flowers portrayed by female dancers. All dancers will be totally nude, no matter what the weather conditions, and the dance is expected to be quite graphic, as some actual pollination will be going on. However, as it's educational as well as natural and organic and gluten-free, and it's not at all intended to be titillating, organizers see no reason why children cannot attend. They point out that, after all, it's art, it's educational, represents a good cause. The event might take place this Sunday after local area churches let out, though no one's certain.
On tour for the first time since his death this past year, David Bowie will be appearing at the Moda Center for one night only, March 22nd. The show has been sold out, so no tickets are available, though I do have a pair of balcony seats I'm scalping for $800 each.
Martial arts fighting using airborne drones comes to Portland for the first time at the Expo Center this year as the Portland Air Floaters take on the Petaluma Wham Bam Drifters. Paramutual betting will, of course, be a feature of the contest. The Drifters have an unbeaten record, having defeated the Federal Way Floozies last week up in Olympia.
They attribute their domination of the sport to the fact that their drones are refurbished, retired combat veteran drones purchased from the CIA.
The Floaters are also undefeated, as this will be their first match, says team manager Bernard Flogger. "We're really excited about this. This is better than sex with my wife, maybe even with anybody's wife."
It should be a good match. If you've never attended one, the drones are armed only with rubber band guns and short-range flamethrowers. No Hellfire missiles or machine guns are permitted, so any danger to spectators will most likely be nearly nil, perhaps comparable to the degree of risk NASCAR spectators are willing to accept.
Participants are encouraged to bring their own rocks, bricks, and chunks of concrete to the rock fight scheduled for Laurel Park at 8 p.m. next Monday night. Wait, I have just been handed a note saying the event has been postponed for 2 weeks because too many of the core participants still have not yet recuperated from the last fight.
Open surgery. a new play by local writer Havelock Wynn hopes to make its debut at Portland Center Stage this week. As a new and novel take on the historic 1973 tennis match between Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean King, Open Surgery delves into the twin themes of unrequited love and the whimsical but terribly tragic history of the Spalding Sporting Goods Company.
The Portland public could be getting the opportunity to sample such delicacies as minced cassava leaves with pickled mosquito testicles at a buffet dinner featuring food from the nation of Burundi. The buffet may come off as soon as this Sunday in celebration of Portland's affiliation with its new sister city, Bujumbura. Bujumbura's chief shaman, Randolph Dadunda Remy, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, will speak on the topic of positive outcomes expected from the nation's enthusiastic program of ethnic cleansing and initiatives supported through a loan from the International Monetary Fund.
Washed-up actor Burt Reynolds pays a visit to Portland soon to kick off the Hollywood Theater's revival of the Smokey and the Bandit film series. Reynolds is expected to arrive in a late 70s Pontiac Trans Am. He will not be accompanied by any other actors or crew associated with those films, as none of them have consented to speak to him in years.
The Pet Lovers of Portland organization invites any and all to enter their best furry little buddies into the Portland area all pet show competition at Lloyd Center. This year, the competition will be open to all manner of pets, from Bengal tigers to Luna moths, and the competition, for the first time anywhere, will be unrestricted. That is, animals, usually competing by phylum and breed, will not be subjected to the embarrassment of being labeled and forced into specific classifications. So your cockapoo could conceivably beat my inchworm.
There will also be special events such as a cooking demonstration of alternatives to euthanasia for your aging pets.
It's being called a pub crawl for the lazy, and it's being held on one downtown city block where, with the aid of hand trucks, thoroughly besotted attendees will be moved on the hour from one bar to another. Three bars and one mattress store are participating. Attendees should be over 21 and have no problems with motion sickness.
Roller cage, a new sport sweeping America, even the city of Portland, which sometimes isn't certain it's actually a part of the United States, is an amalgam of cage fighting, roller derby, Australian rules football, and poetry slam. The Portland team, the Holy Rosie Hosey Nosies, will be taking on the Memphis Simpleton Poets Wednesday at the Moda Center in the midst of a Trailblazers game. Come early for the preliminary event featuring Bound and Gagged Phil Knight staked down in the middle of the cage, while Indonesian sweatshop workers flown in just for the event roller skate around him up while pelting him to within an inch of his life with Nike sneakers. Fans are invited to bring things to throw at the contestants.
Anybody with $20 to spare is invited to come to a CD release party at the Mississippi Studios in North Portland, or some similar joint.
The CD, Dreams of Misbegotten Chromium Forests, is being released by Vancouver's very own award-losing filling station restroom band, the Greedy Avaricious Bastards Plus Five. There will also be a second band on hand, one with members who can actually read sheet music, to provide accompaniment for dancing in any karaoke scene that could break out.
Well, that's it for this week's schedule of things that could be taking place in Portland and vicinity soon. Assuming people allow them to happen. Listen in again next month, as unlikely as this may be, more exciting happenings take flight in our glorious Stump City, the place we love to call Rip Town.
passion I love the moonlight I love
Tonight, the latest chapter in our continuing series, All in the Family Way, visits with families of Washington County. This evening, we'll be looking in on another of the staunch, good-hearted families of the county, this one in the town of Forest Grove. It's the home of Maud and Beowulf Larson.
This is a pair of averaged, middle-aged, middle Americans, both proud Oregonians, who live with their only son, Winthrop, and Maud's father, Knapp. Right now, the couple occupies the living room's two easy chairs. Maud's busy with her knitting, and Beowulf reading his newspaper as he smokes a pipe full of medical marijuana. Aside from a People's Republic of China flag standing in one corner and a cigar store Indian in another, the room is sparsely furnished.
Beowulf, the manager of a Rite Aid drugstore, is, sadly enough, becoming increasingly brain dead from an old, untreated gonorrhea infection and from years of sampling prescription methamphetamine at his store. He is frequently confused with the late Hollywood movie star Fred McMurray, though the confusion is only in his own mind.
Maud, his stay-at-home wife, spends most of her time knitting afghans.
In his bedroom, still sleeping off an afternoon drunk, is Maud's father, Napoleon Lichtenfarber, a retired German army officer.
The Larson's one son, Winthrop, is about to arrive home from his day at a local community college. Let's listen in.
Nothing but bad news today, wifey. The election is less than 3 years away, and the Republicans are running an even wackier lineup for 2020 than they did 2016. The Democrats are running Michelle Obama, and the only person really fit to be president, Louis Black, isn't running at all. Well, he wouldn't have a snowball's chance anyway.
That's sad, Beowulf. Who will be the Brotherhood of Satan's candidate?
The Satanists are not running a candidate this year. They figure they'll back whomever the Republicans nominate.
Winthrop enters. He wears a crinoline skirt in the green and white colors of his alma mater and thick makeup.
Hi, Daddy Beowulf. Hi, Mommy Maud.
Winthrop, my son, welcome home. Learn anything at college today?
We relived the tragic history of the Osmond family and learned how Millard Fillmore invented 3D movie glasses in his White House basement workshop with the help of elves and a young Ed Asner. Then we studied the politically correct way to smoke crack and deconstructed the Battle of Porkchop Hill. For homework, we are to tie everything together in a 9/11 conspiracy theory. It's all information that will prove so useful in facing whatever life holds for me.
Happy to hear you're learning a lot of good stuff at Portland State. Truly, the Harvard of the Northwest.
Indeed, but a lot cheaper.
Go Vikes! Guess what else? I changed my major, guys. Look, see? I'm wearing a nurse's cap.
But you were making such good progress majoring in sustainable cannabis horticulture with a minor in tap dancing.
No, I was failing my cannabis course and bogarting those joints, my friends, as well as my practicum in soft shoe. So I've decided to become a double major in dental appreciation and bicurious nursing. Naturally, that required that I come out of the closet.
Beowulf angrily drops his newspaper, reddens his face, puffs out his cheeks, and makes steam come out of his ears.
Oh my God, you're queer now? Great Lenin's ghost! I'll bet it was a result of your doting on those Steven Seagal movies from Hulu. Indeed, it's produced the sexual about-face your mother and I have long hoped to see. Saints be praised, all hail Steven Seagal, you're finally gay!
Energetically choking your chicken night after night in your room while gazing wistfully upon Seagal's magnificently gay ponytail on the TV screen.
It was the magic we prayed would work, and it did.
Oh, gosh, Mom. You knew I was whacking off, yet you never reprimanded me. That was really awesome of you. I'd love you two guys.
I'll never forget the day we took away your Barbie dolls and replaced them with Burt Reynolds action figures. A move that has now paid the gayest of dividends.
My little boy, ever since I began dressing you in those taffeta gowns, I was hoping someday you would become a rainbow warrior, and now you have. Mama's little Fruit Loop. Kudos, Winthrop.
Congratulations, son, on becoming a full-on sodomite. It's hard to believe we now actually have a bum chum in the family, a chutney ferret, a fart-knocking friend of Dorothy. Maud, my sweet, we're going to have to bake him a cake. A fruit cake, to be precise.
With lots of glossy cherries, I hope. Mom, Dad, wait. There's more. I'm engaged.
Ah, no doubt to a young homosexual fellow like yourself, I assume. I only hope your squeeze is a dedicated socialist.
In all candor, Pop, I think he may be something of an old fascist.
Well, I suppose we can learn to live with that. But please tell us you're not having to marry this rump ranger because you got him in a family way.
Say it isn't so, Winthrop. Geez, after all we taught you about pulling out early, that would be a fine kettle of fish, a big slap on our faces, the kind of thing that leads to shotgun weddings, and they are always in bad taste.
No worries there, Ma. My guy is too old to have a baby. And the wrong sex, for that matter.
I take it your comrade will play the role of wife?
Mostly, Dad, though we may switch off every so often.
How soon can we meet your new beau, Winthrop?
You can meet him right now. Here he comes shuffling out of his bedroom.
Napoleon Lichtenfarber enters the room. He wears Nazi regalia.
Daddy, not you. My son cannot be marrying an old fart like you.
But holy Ho Chi Minh! Nap, my own Nazi father-in-law marrying my son? Now, if that don't bugger all.
Bugger all? You betcha sweet cheeks. You know, marriage between two practicing homosexuals ain't illegal in this country no more, by jinkies.
Daddy, this is such an uncommon surprise. Just how long have you been a pufter? Like, were you gay while you were married to my mom?
Sad to admit, I was in the closet back then, honey. Your mother was in there with me, along with your transgender Uncle Hortense and Beowulf's half-wit cousin Einstein.
I bet all of you were going at it hot and heavy under the overcoat.
Not a pretty picture, Napoleon. Do you really think this marriage is a good idea? After all, Winthrop is your grandson. That would make yours an incestuous relationship, taboo in any but the most primitive societies.
Well, boo-hoo for society. You know as well as I do, this family has been in incestuous situations for centuries.
Yeah, it's what I got our ancestors kicked out of Iceland. We used to think it was only the family's membership in the Reykjavik Swingers Club and the fact they were all Nazis.
Hell, you're in an incestuous relationship right now yourself, Beowulf.
Daddy, please.
That's right, Maud. Only you and the neighbors are unaware that Beowulf is your brother.
To mention that he's her husband, so that must mean I'm...
Yes, you are your own evil twin. And soon, you will be your parents' stepmother.
How am I ever going to explain all this in a wedding announcement?
Someone is at the front door. Whoever could it be?
Why don't you open it and find out?
Why, it's our next-door neighbor, pederast Pete Pillbox, and his wife, Barf. And hello to you too, Barf. I mean, Mrs. Pillbox.
Hi. I was wondering whether we can expect you folks at the mock lynching in the park tonight. As you know, there are no people of color living in Washington County, so we have to make do with a simulated victim. We got one of those practice victims from the fire department and smeared him up with blackberry jam. Afterwards, we'll let the kids lick him off.
Why, sure, pederast Pete. Wouldn't miss it for the world.
And while you're here, take these tickets for you and your wife to attend the annual countywide Hitler's birthday celebration. I'm afraid Donald Trump couldn't make it, but Pat Buchanan and David Duke will be there.
Thanks, Nat. This really is a great town, isn't it? I've never been so happy since I moved to John Day.
But you didn't. This is Forest Grove.
Forest Grove? Not John Day? Now there's one hell of a development. Well, nothing to do but...
dumb son of a bitch shot himself.
Easy, Barf. Your husband is now in a better place.
Better than Forest Grove? Impossible. We love it here.
And so ends our visit with the Larson family in Forest Grove. Tune in next month when we continue our series on Washington County families by visiting with policewoman Brenda and Gladys Fitzwilliam in beautiful downtown Beaverton.
I'm old-fashioned. I love the moonlight. I love the sound of rain upon my window pane.
I'm really sorry. Oh, good call.
Turn it out, for fuck's sake.
What is that? Give that to me.
Hand it over.
Oops. Wait, was that a phone?
Point at the door.
It's the police. It's a raid. Fuck off, Hillsong.
What is that? Give that.
Okay, Justin, hand it over. Nobody move.
If we get all behind
you, nobody talk. Careful. Wait, was that a phone?
Oh, shit. Point it at the door.
It's the police. It's a raid.
Are you serious?
Fuck off, Hillsong.
No, quiet. Okay, Justin, don't move. Nobody move.
If we get all behind you,
nobody talk.
Hand it over.
Oops. Wait, was that a phone?
Good call. Point it at the door.
It's the police. It's a raid.
Are you serious?
Fuck off.
What is that? Give that.
No, quiet. Okay,
hand it
Justin,
over.
Don't move. Nobody move.
So if we get off behind
nobody
you,
nobody talk.
Is that a phone?
Oh, shit. Point it at the door.
It's the police. It's a raid.
Good call. Are you serious?
Fuck off, Hillsong.
No, quiet. Okay, Justin, don't move. Nobody move.
What is that? Give that.
No,
hand it over.
Careful. Oops. Wait, was that a phone?
It's the police. It's a raid. Fuck off, Hillsong.
No, quiet. Okay, Justin, don't move. Nobody move. If we get all behind
you, nobody talk.
In a few minutes, it will be midnight.
You, dear listener, have survived another episode of the Ubu Hour Radio Theater Show.
Tune in at 11 p.m. every Monday night on KBOO for the Radio Theater Hour. The second Monday of the month, it will be Sub-Intellect Human Theater.
The third Monday gives you the Gremlin Time, and on the fourth Monday, it's Sudden Rerun Radio Project.
And the Ubu Hour returns on the first Monday of
January
with all new material.
All new material. Let me repeat, all new material. But if you can't wait until then, you can catch previous episodes on the web. Just go to kboo.fm
and look for Ubu, spelled U-B-U, Hour.
And we'll see you next month. Thank you for listening.
Turn it out, for fuck's sake.
Good call.
Turn it out, for fuck's sake.
Good call.
Turn it out, for fuck's sake.
What is that? Give that to me.
Hand it over.
Oops. Wait, was that a phone?
Shit. Point it at the door.
It's the police. It's a raid.
Are you serious?
Fuck off,
I'm really sorry.
Are
you serious?
Fuck off, Hillsong.
No, quiet. Okay, Justin, don't move.
Nobody move.
No, if we get all behind
nobody
you.
Nobody talk.
Careful now.
Monroe. A word, please.
Just a minute, Lang. Look, so I'll see you tomorrow. Okay.
I'm really sorry.
And that's a wrap. Another half minute of music, and then it will be time for Joe Wood and his tacky cha-cha club.
If you get over behind
me, nobody talk!
Careful now. Are you ill?
KBOO Community Radio is proud to sponsor the Elysian Brewing Breakbeat IPA KBOO benefit on December 8th at the Liquor Store Bar and Venue in Portland. KBOO and Elysian Brewing will celebrate the release of the Manic IPA series with hip-hop, funk, and electronica spun by The Pariahs, DJ Dakimba, and Vinology. Again, that's Elysian Brewing Breakbeat IPA KBOO benefit on December 8th at the Liquor Store Bar and Venue, 3341 Southeast Belmont Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Portland. Tiki Cha-Cha Club.